Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, in our Jumu'ah session I had mentioned that a very important message has been given to us in Surah Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us the nature of this dunya. And until you don't know the nature of a person, it will be very difficult for a person to get on well with him. And so there is personality, there is nature that Allah has created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about this dunya, the world that we live in. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything in this world is going to become fana, will come to an end. Everything has got an expiry date. And we need to understand this. Nothing in this dunya is permanent, forever, eternal. Not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, not the mountains. Subhanallah, not the rocks that are around us. Nothing at all. Everything will perish. And with understanding dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains to us about Jannah. That Jannah is the complete opposite. In Jannah, everything is eternal. There is no grief. There is no pain. There is no sleep. You will always have strength and energy. You will never die. You will always look handsome and beautiful. You will never argue. You will have the best food, best drinks. You will have khadims everywhere around you to serve you. The environment that you will be in will be the best of the best. And so Jannah is the complete opposite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained this in Surah Rahman for the people of Iman and in fact generally all of humanity to understand. That no matter who you are, whatever position you have, in whatever capacity you live in this dunya, you will have to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in different verses of the Quran. Very ajeeb, mashallah, style that you will find in the Quran of how Allah describes a person going through this procedure of death. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيْنَ مَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, death will find you. Wherever you are. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَ. Even if you lock yourself, seal yourself, hide yourself in some fortified fortress, in a castle, in a building somewhere very high, and you think that this is impregnable, nobody can come here, I've locked everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even if you are young, death is going to come to you. You will not survive. And this is the reality of this dunya that we really need to understand. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ إِنَّمَا يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. O my Nabi, say to them that the angel of death that has been assigned to you will take your soul, and you will surely return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the verses of the Quran, Allah does not just say this is going to happen to you, but the Quran always also gives a solution. So Allah is saying, if you are going to die, then also remember you will only return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where you are going. And a lot of the times you will find that people reject and deny the hereafter. That is their life, is their God. Subhanallah, what will happen? What will happen to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The intoxication of death, that sakarat, when it comes to you, only when sakarat comes to you, you will know the truth. The people who are the disbelievers will know the truth at the time of sakarat. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. They will know of the truth. They will know. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدَ. Allah is saying, this is something that you are avoiding. And so a very beautiful message that Allah Pak has given us in the Quran, that one is dunya and one is akhirat, and we are in this journey slowly progressing. And in order for people to progress from one world to another world, they have to go through one system. And that is maut. That maut is a bridge. And when you taste death and when you depart, that is the time you will move to your second chapter of the journey. Subhanallah. Life is all about chapters. Life is all about chapters. The end comes when you die. And when you die, then the most important chapter begins thereafter. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, O Nabi of Allah, who is the most intelligent person in this dunya? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hum dhikran lil mawti. The most intelligent people in this dunya are the people who frequently remember death, who are constantly remembering death all the time. Subhanallah, all the time that I am going to go. Why? What was the maqsad for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind us about death? Is death something very painful, pain, agony of taklif for people? For the people of Iman, it's not. For the people of Iman, it's like putting your head, subhanallah, on the lap of your mother. Putting your head on the lap of your mother. That is how death is for the people of Iman. Allah does not do zulm on a person. Allah is very merciful. It's just a procedure. But why? The people who understand that I have to remember death, death will keep me on my toes. Death is something that will stop me from doing guna, stop me from committing sins. And death will always remind me that, you know what, I'm living in this world which has got an expiry date, everything will end. I need to progress to the real world and my maqsad is Jannah. So that is why the most intelligent people are the people who remember death frequently. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, it is said about him that when he was the Khalifa also, he had hired and he paid a man who would stay with him 24 hours. When I say 24 hours, I mean most of the time when he is working. And he would read in front of him poetry in Arabic about death. Poetry about death. That is Hazrat Umar. Ajib. So they were masters of ash'ar, poetry. So he would be reminding Hazrat Umar, death will come, death this. And Hazrat Umar would actually listen to him, ha ha ha. A time came one day that Hazrat Umar Farooq said to him, Bhai, Jazakallah, now I don't need your service. So he says, Hazrat, did I do something wrong? Forgive me. You know, it's a pleasure to be in your company. But did I do something wrong? He says, no, no. He says, insan, you see, insan can become ghafil. He can quickly forget. Sometimes when we are eating, we even forget to say Bismillah. This is our state today. We are so ghafil, Allah save us, that only when we have, mashallah, finished the entire akni and biryani, shaitan will want to make a mockery. Bismillah to nahi pairo bhai. Huh? You didn't read Bismillah. But then, when he is doing this mockery, we should say, okay, no problem, even if I didn't read it then, Bismillah now. What is it? Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Allah Pak, Bismillah in the beginning and Bismillah in the end. That is how you fight the shaitan. Allah's Nabi said, when you are praying namaz, then what happens? The shaitan will make you forget. Is this my third rakat, second rakat, second rakat, third rakat? Is it fourth rakat? It can happen. And he will want you to miss one rakat and pray less. Go for that mistake. So if he's praying four, he'll make you sit on the third rakat of At-Tahiyyat. Some mistake, whatever can happen, and however I can disturb him, he doesn't know. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry. He wanted you to miss the rakat. What you do, you punish him that after attahiyat, make one salam and do two extra sajdas. This gives him a lot of pain. So he gets so angry that here I wanted him to miss one rakat, so he is not doing sajda to Allah Pak. Now he is also doing two extra sajda. So give him pain also, give him a lot of taklif. Subhanallah. This is our shariat. So that is why we do extra sujood, sajda sahwa, the sajda of prostration, when we make a mistake. Because the mistake comes from shaitan. So insan is very, very forgetful. So the most intelligent person is that person who is always remembering death. Always remembering death. Now understand the nature of this dunya and understand the nature of the hereafter. In this dunya, a person can live however he wants. Nobody is going to stop him. Of course, if you have a good team around you, then they will constantly remind you that this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. I mentioned this in my Jumu'ah. If you have a family that is nagging at you, trying to control you, restricting you, come home early in the night, don't go out, where are you going, I'm going to phone you, where are you in town, why, who are you going with, who are your friends, show me your mobile phone, then read 2 rakat salatu shukr. What should you read? 2 rakat salatu shukr. That there is a team that is around you that is protecting you. Make shukr, there are people who are protecting you. If you don't have a team that is protecting you, Allah save us, there's a possibility that even Allah is naraz of you. That is why Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. It is very, very important. You know, shaitan sometimes makes us feel, no, no, he might feel bad, you know, he might feel bad. Don't talk to him right now, don't. Sometimes we make the wrong decision. Wrong decision. Subhanallah. Allah save us. Sometimes you will find a boy wants to get married to the girl and the boy is saying to the girl, look, you know what, the minimum requirement I want and my family wants from you is at least wear a scarf. You know, I'm saying this because these are things that come all the time. At least wear a scarf. The husband is saying, at least wear a scarf. The girl is saying, look at how shaitan works with people. The girl is saying, you are right in your place, but in Islam there is no force. Only when Allah gives me hidayat, I will wear a scarf. What a lovely answer. Dekhiye, Queen Elizabeth ki jagah to aise logon ko lena chahiye. Kitna beautiful answer. I will wear a scarf when Allah gives me the hidayat. Wah, ji wah. Who are you blaming it now on? Allah Pak. Bhai, Allah is already knocking at your heart and giving you the hidayat by this man who wants to marry you. And this man is telling you that Allah wants to give you hidayat. What am I asking? Am I asking too much? I will restrict myself towards Sharia and you also restrict yourself towards Sharia. And you do this. Subhanallah. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. How shaitan works. He makes a person very ghafil in this dunya. Very, very ghafil. We forget death. So anyway, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, Jazakallah, I don't require your service. So he said, why Hazrat, something wrong? He goes, yes, now Allah has naturally given me a reminder. Naturally. So what is it? He says, now Umar has become very old. The hair of the beard is all white. So now when I'm doing wuzu and when I wash my beard and wash my face and when I look at my hands and my fingers and I look at the white hair, I know now death is very close. Ajeeb, subhanallah. So I don't need your shairi and your poetry to remind me. These were the best of the best people that were always thinking about death and mort. Subhanallah. And sometimes, you know, we think that, subhanallah, ajeeb, that person died. Sometimes we have this thinking, you know, how can that person die? So many people in this world, sometimes when you hear of them that this person died, how is it that this person died? But that is the reality of this dunya. Anyone in this majlis, anything can happen to anyone. And so this dunya, you have every kind of person. Anybody can live in this dunya. And there is no restriction. You are quite free in this dunya. Quite free. Unless, of course, you have good people, a good team around you that is always guiding you to the right path. You know, sometimes we have this disease. Oh, you know, don't force your children to do this. This is the Western mind that's slowly creeping inside us. They think generally every kind of force is guna. And every kind of force is wrong. Let me tell you, if there are exams going on and if the mother and father are pressuring the child to revise and force him to revise, is that bad? Is that bad? No, very good, no? Very good. If a father is forcing the child that, you know what, pray or namaz, is that bad?
No.
Very good. Forcing him. And so remember, in Islam there is force. If people are there to put pressure on you, it's because Allah knows how a human being is. Sometimes by one little thing a person becomes straight. You know, back in the days there was Lakri Sharif. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Have you? What is it? Lakri Sharif. Danda Sharif. I was speaking to someone who works for the Leicester City Council. He's a taxi driver and he takes children to special schools because of, you know, the behavior of the child. The government, the city council pays for every child thousands of pounds. Imagine a free taxi that takes the child from Leicester to outside of Leicester. Then even in the afternoon, the taxi driver will go back and pick him up and bring him. And he was saying, Mauli Sahab, you know, when you look at the children, you don't see anything that is wrong with them, only behavior issue. He himself was telling me, Mauli Sahab, thousands and millions of pounds can be saved only by one Lakri Sharif. What is it? Back in the days, one danda, Ustad used to give you one danda. Not just in the madrasa, even in schools there was a cane. What was there?
Cane.
Aapko mila tha na, Javed? Many times. Don't reveal too much. Your son is sitting here. MashaAllah, but it's a fact, isn't it? And this kind of, you see, zulm is haram. You don't actually, you know, hit someone in such a way, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that, you know, he's about to die, you have to hospitalize him. I'm not saying all that, that's wrong in Islam. But what I'm saying, that this would save so much money, and all of a sudden, you know, there is this magic stick. It was a magic stick that all of a sudden a person out of fear becomes straight. Sabak yaad aa jata tha. You know, I was in Portugal teaching the small students. So, mashallah, you know, they never used to learn. Mashallah, they never used to learn. But then alhamdulillah, time came that the parents are giving duas to me. Mauli Sahab, our children became Hafiz. Mauli Sahab, this, that, subhanAllah. And nowadays, you see, the whole world is so different. Ajeeb. So, in this world, you are quite free. And now, in this modern world, the maqsad is to make a person completely free. Free from his religion. Free from respecting the parents. Free from respecting faith. Free from respecting the Quran. Free from respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be totally free. Bas, you are you. Bas. This is the kind of attitude people are taking in this world now. And in the akhirat, in akhirat, the policy is that in that world, in Jannah, You can only enter Jannah if you have Iman. In this dunya, your entry can be of, you know, anything. When you are baligh, whatever you want to do in life, it's fine. You made an entry in this world, there is no restriction. Allah does not restrict a person coming in this dunya that he is born, that, you know, of course what is expected from him is there from the teachings of the prophets. But you have that free will, and this is how this dunya is, that you can do what you want. But in the hereafter, the two venues, the people of dunya will be separated. You can only enter Jannah if you have Iman. And when you don't have Iman, you will be thrown in a location called Jahannam. And that is it. And then the doors are closed. Khatam. Allah save us. Allah give us Jannah. So Allah in Surah Rahman has explained to us the nature of this dunya. That this dunya has an expiry date. Everything will expire. The things that you buy and you design that is going to preserve, a time will come, that technology will also be outdated, it won't work, and you will have to throw it. But in Jannah, it's very different nature. But in Jannah, to qualify, you have to have Iman. And now the question is, my respected brothers and elders, when a person who dies in the state of kufr, when a person who dies in the state of kufr, what is our position Islamically, for an example, just for people to know? The one thing we have to understand is that it is gunahe kabira to make dua of maghfirat for someone who is known that has passed away from this dunya in the state of kufr. A person can just not make dua of maghfirat for that person. Understand this. Very important. Maghfirat is not done for anyone who does not fulfill this very important condition. Because maghfirat is connected to Jannah. What is it? Maghfirat is connected to Jannah. It is that progression, that corridor that will take him straight into Jannah. So maghfirat, you cannot make dua that Allah make maghfirat of this person who has died in the state of kufr. However, alhamdulillah, sometimes what happens is that you have a neighbor who is not a Muslim. You have a worker who has been your friend who is not a Muslim and who has been very kind to you, and mashallah, we've had a good relationship. And generally, you know, people who are of different faith, they pass away. Akhlaqan, what is it? Akhlaqan. That they are insan and your fellow human being. What we can do is to give our condolences. What can we say? You know, sorry for your loss. Kya keh sakte? Sorry for your loss, you know. Sorry for your loss, you know. To you, to your loved ones, and to your family, and to everybody. Kabhi tumhare neighbor ka intikal ho gaya, ye ho gaya, wo gaya. You can say that. Condolence. You know, you can message. No problem. Shariat gives ijazat of condolence. But not for someone to cross that limit and say, maghfirat ki dua karo bhai. This is only for the people of Iman. Because in Jannat, only the people who are whose maghfirat is done can enter. Understand this. And the dalil for that, is in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was once, you know, all of a sudden Allah's Nabi was quite startled and didn't expect a janaza to be there, but there was a group of people rushing and they just came in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was someone who died, and so the janaza was there. Allah's Nabi stood up. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up, Sahaba says, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are standing up, but this is a Yahudi. Who is he? Yahudi. Why are you standing up for Yahudi here? Allah the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is Yahudi, no problem. But is he not a human being? What did he say? Is he not a human being? That as human beings you can show respect. What is it? As humans we can show respect to anyone. So because they are your fellow human beings, you can show respect. And in the same hadith, Allah's Nabi actually explained this. And he said, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ فَزَعَ. Look, remember, anyone who dies, Muslim or non-Muslim, indeed there is great faza' in death. Faza' means there is fright. What is there? There is fright, scare. There is this terror. You know, a person can learn a lot. There is this fright in death. And so a person, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, in any case, he is required to remember death for himself, even when he sees another person's janazah. It's not about your iman or anything like that. That has got nothing to do with us. But when you see someone that has passed away, Allah's Nabi is teaching the people of iman, isn't this enough? Inna lil mauti faza'a, that in death there is great fright. There is terror. Your hearts, if you have a soft heart especially, you know, you'll start thinking, oh ho, you know, somebody is gone, you know, one day it will remind you of your own death. So fuqaha have given permission this much, but we have to be very careful in Shariat. Only a person who departs with iman, we can make dua of maghfirat. A person who has no iman, we can show respect. Fellow human beings, your neighbor, your friend, anyone that's out there, condolences, by sorry for your loss. That is not a problem. And this is also in the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talib, who looked after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for, I think Abdul Muttalib died when Huzur alayhi salam was 8 years of age. And Allah's Nabi, when he was 42 years takriban, he looked after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mushrikeen could not harm Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like how they would torture other people. Because of the uncle Abu Talib was a very powerful man. He did not allow anyone to do anything to his nephew. He suffered even the boycott that was there. And they said, okay, we will cut away with the Banu Hashim and the Banu Abdul Muttalib and everybody that's there. But he did not allow any kind of physical torture on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or anything of the fact. So he was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all his life. In fact, Allah's Nabi was so fond with him that when he received his first wages, when he got his first wage, he came to his uncle and he said to Abu Talib that everything is for you. Everything is for you. And he tried very hard. Very hard. Remember one thing, my respected brothers. When a person is about to die, it is always good practice that you have pious people in the room. What is it? It is always good practice that you have pious people in the room. This attracts the rahmat of Allah. Ajeeb. Subhanallah al-Azim. It attracts the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Talib, when he was about to die in Sakarat, Allah's Nabi was there. But already a group of the kuffar were there. And they did not allow him, and they did not allow him to think anything else. Allah, you see, Allah gives hidayat to whom He wills. But he died in the state of kufr. He died in the state of kufr. Although he died in a state of kufr, Allah's Nabi was grieved. Huzn was there. So we see this, that, you know, sometimes you may have some kind of a relationship of someone who is very close to you, a friend, that is allowed, although you can't make dua of maghfirat for him. And when some of the companions, they felt that maybe Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for Abu Talib when he passed away, and did dua of maghfirat. So they started doing dua of maghfirat for their family members who died with shirk, thinking that this was jais. And Allah's Nabi revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. That it is not befitting for the people of Iman and for the Nabi that he can do dua of istighfar or maghfirat for the people who die in the state of kufr. So this is something that we need to understand, that when a person dies in the state of kufr, then there is no possibility that we can make dua for them. There is no dua for people who die in kufr for their maghfirat. However, my respected brothers and elders, there is one thing we need to understand, that if the mercy of Allah, if the mercy of Allah is such, the ruling is that only the people who die with Iman, whether they are from the followers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whether they took Musa alayhi salam to be the Nabi of Allah, or Ibrahim alayhi salam, or any Nabi, and they did not die upon shirk, then Jannat is for them. Jannat is for them. If there is shak and there is doubt, you don't know, you know, maybe this person was a Muslim, not a Muslim, then you can give benefit of the doubt. But how do you identify someone who is a kafir or is not a kafir? When sometimes you'll find people openly declare this. There was one Muslim lady, actress, who got married to a Hindu person, mushrik. And Ghaliban, I think, was she an actress? I'm not sure. But she was a Muslim lady who married someone who was a mushrik Hindu person. And when people told her that, "Bhai, you know, this is not possible for you to marry this person. I don't believe in all these maulvis, what they are saying. Forget that. I can marry who I want. And I'm marrying this person. I don't believe in all of these things. I don't believe in at all the laws of Islam." So when she died, you know, the family members decided, "We will pray the janaza." And when people said, "We can't pray janaza," they said, "No, no, but the father is a Muslim, mother is a Muslim, so and so is a Muslim. Bhai, they must have been Muslim, but here we have something that is proof, that is showing that what she did is of kufr. What she did is of kufr. She did not show any kind of respect. Openly she said, "I've got nothing to do with this." Such kalimat can lead a person towards kufr. Allah save us. Amen. Allah save us. And we have to be careful. Allahu Akbar. So you look at our community today, how people utter words. So if a person dies in the state of kufr, then there is no maghfirat for that individual. But however, there might be a person who died in the state of kufr, but he did things that were very good for humanity, for people. He had the love for the Muslims. Maybe he had love for the Quran. Maybe he had love for Allah, or in any capacity, whatever. But he was a very, very good person. So Hazrat Ibn Abbas had asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, you know, your uncle, you always remember him, but he died in the state of kufr. Did your love for him and his love for you benefit him in any way? Did it benefit him? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Of course it benefited him. How it benefited him? See, he helped Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi said that in Jahannam, generally when the punishment is given, the entire body is covered with fire. What is it? Allah save us. But because of Abu Talib's relationship with Huzur alayhi salam, he is in that part of Jahannam, very far away, that only some form of heat is given to him under the feet. But still in Jahannam. Where is it? People are still in. So even the kuffar, according to their deeds, will be given punishment in Jahannam. Just like how the people of Iman, according to their amal, they will be given ranking in Jannah. Some people will be low, some people will be high, some will be even high people. Because of their amal, they will be given that ranking. The same thing also with kufr. So there will be some people that they died in kufr, and because they died in kufr, there is no possibility for them to go to Jannah. But if Allah wills, that some concession can be given to them in Jahannam. But that is the knowledge of Allah. But our aqidah is very simple, that for the people of kufr, there is no Jannah, only Jahannam. That is our bunyadi aqidah. That is our aqidah. And no matter who it is. That is why Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, you know, not realizing, he said to Allah Pak, Allah is my son. He had four sons. Three were Muslims, one was not. Ham, Sam and Yafis. Ham, Sam, Yafis. Three of them were Muslims. Kan'an was not a Muslim. Kan'an, he was not. But he was the youngest from the sons of Nuh alayhi salam. And father is a father. So he saw his young son. He said to him, Kan'an, come. What are you listening to these people, these mushrikeen that are around? Come to me, Kan'an. He says, no, nothing will happen. I'm fine. I don't want to listen to you, Abbaji. So he thought, let me ask my Allah, that Ya Allah, can my intercession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a very strong answer to Nuh alayhi salam. Are you from amongst the jahileen that you are asking me this? Oh, Nabi, Allah talks. Innahu laysa min ahlik. He is your biological son, but because he is not of iman, he is not your son. Innahu laysa min ahlik. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. That the actions that he did were wrong. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, the greatest ni'mat that is given to us is iman. And we have to preserve this. If a person dies without iman, as human beings, our condolences, you know, we are sorry for your loss, all this is fine. But in Jannah, only people of iman can make an entry. In our group, I think it was Idris who sent this video clip. It was very nice. And it is very true. It comes in the hadith that when a Muslim passes away, look at the rahmat of this ummah. And in his janazah, only 40 people come. And this hadith is in Targhib Tarheeb, Allama Munziri's. I've read this. 40 people come. 40 people are there reading his janazah. Allahumma gfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. Allahumma gfir lahu. Allahumma arhamhu. Allahumma aafihi. 40 admi. 40 people are making dua. Allah Pak, you know, our brother, this person from our Muslim community has passed away. 40 people are there in his janazah. Allah Pak says, 40 people are there, I am forgiving all his sins and Jannah will be given to him. This is the barakat of having iman. In another narration, if 100 people are there, 100 people are there. Allah kare, mere aapke janaze mein bhi log zyada ho.
Ameen.
Bari baat. But the head of state, a king, a queen, or anybody, a famous person that can die, millions of people attend the funeral. How many? Millions of people are there to attend the funeral. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. There is no difference, no difference at all. Whether it is one, whether it is the whole world that is there, because you depart with shirk in the heart. And there's only 40 people for the janaza there, because you have iman. Everything is valid. And so that is why so many anbiya came in this dunya, and their maqsad was only this. Why, be careful, just look after this, look after this, look after this, look after this. That is why, as Muslims, we are well-wishers. Where you are working, you find people who are non-Muslims, invite them to the masjid. Befriend them with the intention that, you know, this person is nice. Insha'Allah, if I talk to him, he will accept Islam. Work very hard. We have an opportunity in this country. Can you imagine, you know, how sad a person departs from this dunya without iman? As Muslims, we should be working very, very hard. There are so many non-Muslims around us. An opportunity that is given. You know, do your own personal studying. Understand how this person is. Okay, you know what? If I talk to him like this, he will understand. If I talk to him in this manner, he will understand. MashaAllah. And if you are working, and if all the people work in that way, subhanAllah, you will see that Allah will not waste your effort. Your qurbani will not be made zaya. So this ummah has a responsibility. The more people share iman and depart with iman, alhamdulillah, that is our purpose in this dunya. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.